Yes, we'll start from. I will try and get the puzzle club base tonight. Make some progress. Vayiposes Agog Melech Amalek Chai. Ushol Kod Agog, the king of Amalek, alive. That's called Amechrin of Yichorev, the rest of the nation, he eradicated, decimated by sword. Now test. Vayachmol Shaul, last puzzle on the page. Vayachmol Shaul Va'amal Agog. Shaul and the nation, they had mercy on Agog. And on the best of the sheep and the cattle, and the mishnim are some particularly special cattle, the ones which are especially fat and best for slaughter. Vala karim, also very fat lambs of some sort. Vala kolatov, and all the good stuff. The lavu acharimam, and they did not destroy all that. V'chol melacha, all tools and utensils and such like, nimivzoven ames, which were these disgusting or degraded or low, osachrima, that they destroyed. So basically, they kept all the good animals and perhaps a little bit of the booty as well, but most of the bad stuff, the stuff which was of inferior quality, that they destroyed. Now, obviously, this is a major, major sin here. And I wanted to show you the Malbim. The Malbim describes the sin in great detail here. Very beautiful explanation. Take a look at this. Var Shmuel in Tess. Vayachmol Shaul. Shaul had mercy on the mercy. So, Popi Yeratama Sheni Madul Niskabut Shuvazar Shoshol. Here's the second reason, first reason we saw before, why Shoshol's true was not accepted. Keshav Domin Apolim in the Darfin is the difference between the synonymous verbs. Chamal, Chus, and Rachem. Here it says chamal vayachmol. What's the difference between these verbs? K'mosh kosav l'makom achal, like wrote somewhere else, sha rachmim lo yu rachmi odom lo odom rachmim. I want to explain this outside first. You know, in Kabbalah, I've explained this a couple of times in the past, but it's always worthwhile to chazer. In Kabbalah, there's three concepts: chesed, din, and rachmim. Chesed. What's the difference between chesed and rachmim? Chesed, Kabbalim say, is completely chesed, whereas rachmim is a combination of chesed and din. What does that mean? It means somebody who's a Baal Chesed has an overwhelming urge to give, regardless of who he's giving to. Gemara, in fact, said, Gemilus says in Gien Sukkah, Gemilus Chesed is Ben Lashirim Ben Lanim. You can do Chesed to anybody. You can do Chesed to, Bill Gates. You can do a Chesed, right? Chesed is regardless of whether a person is rich, poor, doesn't make a difference. You do Chesed regardless. Rachamim is when there's a reason. Rachamim is, you see somebody's poor, downtrodden, stricken, that's rachamim. There's a cheshbon to it, a logic to it. That's the din aspect in rachamim. You see the difference? If you have rachamim on somebody, it's because you see something in them which arouses your pity. If you do a chesed to somebody, it's not because they're deserving, it's just because you internally have this drive to give. You see the difference between the two? Chesed is inner driven by you. Rachamim is outer driven by what you witness and what you see. Okay? Now, Shaul here was chomel. What does chomel mean? So the Malbim explains, Sharachamim, Mr. Silver, we're in the Dvar Shmuel, we're five lines to the bottom of the second column. Sharachim, four lines. Sharachim lo yu rachmi adam adam bi bavur shekatzar nafsho. Rachmim is from one individual to another individual because you're the person who perceives here. He feels bad. Whereas ba'avdan eisam to see some person lost or b'tzaras or somebody's affliction. Vachemla vachusa timatel kol davar. But chemla and chusa comes about in anything. In other words, rachmim is only when you see somebody downtrodden. And it's only on a person as a result. Although I don't know, the Malbim says, I'm not sure if it's 100% accurate, but says there's no such thing as rachmim on an animal. Certainly no rachmim on a tape recorder. You don't have rachmim on somebody, on something, only on somebody. Okay? Because of their situation. When you talk about objects, or even living creatures other than human beings, then you can't talk about rachmim. But you can't talk about chemla and chisayon. To be chomel or to be chas. And says to Malbim, והבדל ביניהם, what's it between chemlon chusa? Shachusa tia mitzad sokola davar. I'm going to evaluate something as being precious and have be chas on it if it's something which I need. That's what it says. A person has a special chisayon. He has a special interest and therefore has a special affinity towards mamono, his money, the kalev, and his vessels, bashen kiyon, because they're his. They're owned by him. Vachemla, on the other hand, tia gamo dover shein l'toros min, will also apply to something which you have no advantage from. Vachshoshofet besichlo, she said, you think in your own mind, shein roi lashchis adoveru, it's not right to destroy that thing. Vachyumot tov yoson, it's better to keep it. Fine, lo yisir Hashem bayu chusa bayrachem al amolek. Hashem didn't say to him, don't be chas, don't have rachmanis. I know you have rachmanis on amolek. It's natural. Even when you're waging a war, not to kill the women and the children. Of course, it's natural for a person to have rachmanis. It's natural not to want to destroy Amalek because you have a rachamim. Or because you're a chas on them, because they could do work for you. You can use the sheep. Think of all those great lamb chops. So that's natural. That would also be natural. What's the word? Response. However, even though kiela miyat chunas nafshiyo shagisha gam sheikai mitzvah Hashem, these are natural human characteristics that even fulfill the mitzvah Hashem, because nevertheless yitzuyar, it's possible to imagine shorah rachamov, that it's going to rouse his mercy, v'yachiv liv, when his heart will be hurt him, mimisas yuladim rakim, in killing young children, or yochus v'yidav libo, or he'll feel bad bashchiso asholo, when he destroys the loot, from which you could have derived benefits. Avla chemla. What does chemla mean? William Machshavi has to do with your own thoughts. Shechoshev, that you come to the conclusion mentally. She'ein min haroi v'ayosher. It's not proper nor suitable. Lashchisam, to destroy them. V'shelo b'tzedek sivah navi adavar zeh. And with the navi commanded to do that, it was not right. Chusa means you want it, but chemla means you see a value in it. It's beautiful. It's nice. It's good. That's a direct contradiction if Shaul has the thought of chemla, not of rachamim, not of pity, but to see Amalek as something which has value and should be saved. That's a direct contradiction to the Ratzon of Hashem. And that was Shaul's aver here. V'zeh avon plili, this is a criminal sin. Ki rotze l'ischakim neged Hashem, you want to be smarter than God and say it's got value. Despite what Hashem told me. V'akein tzivo b'al tachmol lov, that's why Hashem told them, Shaul, lo sachmol lov. V'tzom amit say, al tachsho machshava, do not have the thought, the philosophical thought, sh'roi l'kaim oshlo shchit, so that you should sustain them while you cannot destroy them. And this is what Shaul stumbled. Shechomel al Agog, that he had mercy on Agog, v'ameitav atzon, on the best sheep. Uvezeharon, with this he demonstrated ki emuna misrofefes biyado, that he didn't have a sufficiently strong emuna. Shimloki, because if not, lo yechoshiv shroi lachmo levi Hashem, he wouldn't have thought that there's some inherent reason to sustain the enemies of God. By the machshav tozos, and through this thought, chato gamba paul, they also sinned indeed. Lova achrema, and then destroy these people. The sipan, it tells us shechama ameta v'abakar, that he had chemla and the best cattle of amishnim and the best sheep. Well, actually, of amishnim shem beinonim, he learns as the second grade B sheep. Shem shnim v'madrei lameta, the second level, second best. V'chena ameta v'atzom v'akorim. And also on the best sheep and the korim shema tzonashmei and the fattest sheep shengankin achametav, which are somehow also the second best. Bovin shishir edus binonis. So according to the Maori, they left the best and the second best. Baraka ziburis ishchi achrim, when they only destroyed the worst. So the Maori's interpretation of the sin of Shaul is he had chemla. The word is very important. He saw value where Hashem told him there was no value. That was his downfall. Reb Tzadok learns it slightly differently. If you don't mind turning to my note page, it's the second to last page. Bineso, do you see where I copied over here? Bineso Bamizachria. The truth is, Zosho, remember the command. Rak Shechoma. Yeah, it's just that he was Chomel. Because Savar Ose Mitzvah, and he thought he was doing a mitzvah. Zelgamkin Echor. I don't know what the word Echor means here. But in any event, the Ascholas Knisas Ayetzer. The original Yetzer here, by Shol, was the Marish is a mitzvah. The Yetzer showed him Shol. Hey, it's a mitzvah to keep them alive. They've got the similar idea to the Malvin. They have value. Amalek has value. To do this alleged mitzvah makes you eventually a cruel person. Because it says anybody who has rachamim on the achzorim, if you have mercy on cruel people, in the end you become cruel on merciful people. That's why Shaul eventually started pursuing David and Novi or Akohanim and all that kind of stuff. All the bad things. Chashav, however, he thought Gam came to Zem mitzvah. So why did he make this mistake, Shaul? Like it says in Gindaf Mem Gimel, Einodam Oimed al Divertor, a person cannot come to the level of understanding Torah, only Kein Nichsha, unless first you make a mistake. Torah is a trial and error process. You try to understand it, you don't work it out, it fails, then you come back to it again, and you understand it the second time. You can't necessarily get all of Torah the first time around. It's very difficult. Lekach Bia Samolik HaChonu L'Matan Torah. And therefore Amolik, when they came, they were like the failure before Matan Torah, right? Amalek came between Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah during Sefiras HaOmer, and there during that time, Amalek represented the downfall before the rise. Like we know, you know, Kisheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam, Tzadik can fall and then they arise afterwards. So Amalek was like the downfall before the rise, and he needs that. The Gemara is telling you, you don't learn Torah unless you first make a mistake. So because the matter of Amalek, the concept of Amalek is the fall, the stumbling block, when you do a sin by chance without intent. When you see, I'm getting lax, things are dangerous, I'm coming to slip off the scale, from that you immediately fortify yourself and come to Divrei Torah. So therefore Shaul thought, Amalek is necessary. We need this barometer to tell us, hey, wake up call. Like an alarm. Tell us that we're slipping a little bit. What is v'yachmol? He thought they also have a good point to them. And some good thing which can be used to sacrifice to God. In other words, one can use them with shame shamayim. Just like in every bad trait, even anger, even haughtiness, there's some good aspect, and that is manifest shame agerim b'shemachol akum, in the gerim which come from every nation to become Jews. Because every nation represents a different midah, and therefore every nation has presented the Jews with gerim. The people who, despite the negative nature of the midah, of that trait generally, have the capacity to use the trait for the proper purpose. Okay? But Amalek, they're rotten to the core. That's why the Amalekite Ger is the one who killed Shaul. We're on this page over here. Explaining why Shaul Savera is not killing Amalek. The second to last page. It's ironic because, Reb Tzadok is pointing out, who's the one who killed Amalek? I'm sorry, Shaul. Ger Amalek, it's in the last parak of Shmuel, around the last parak of Shmuel, he was killed by an Amalekite Ger. David saw this. He's the one, the Ger Amalek is the one who came from the battlefield and told David that Shaul had been killed, and Shaul, he himself had done it. And then what did David do? What did he turn around to do? He killed the Gamalek in the Chazal tells, he saw this whole thing, episode, and he remembered that Halacha Eim Akav and Gerim Amalek. So what's the Pshat? Says the Tzadok, the Pshat is not that he killed, they'll explain it in a minute, but Pshat is not that he killed him because we're not Makav and Gerim from Amalek. No, he killed him because he killed Shaul. But he understood now the halacha. He understood, now I see why we're not mekabelim from Amalek. Because once an Amalekite, always an Amalekite. Any other guy, which comes to be Megayer, once they're Megayer, their characteristics as goyim, they can turn to proper use as Jews and use it for the service of God. And Amalekite, even after he becomes Jewish, he remains with the characteristics of an Amalekite. And that's what he saw. So he didn't kill him because he was an Amalekite, because the Jew, now he's a Jew, but the Evid, he's Megayer, he's a Jew. What he understood was, he remained an Amalekite even after he became Jewish. Tak, it's not proper to accept Gerim from Amalek. Why did he kill him? He killed him because he killed Shaul, a different reason. Okay? So that's what it says here. At that time, when does not accept Gerim from Amalek. He saw here, Shaul was punished Midah connected Midah. Shaul was the one who refused to eradicate Amalek. What happens to Shaul? What's Shaul's end? Is killed by an Amalekite. Mamish Mida connected Mida. By the way, Derech Agav, you see here quite clearly, I think, that there were more Amalekites than the people who lived around Agog. Because if there were not, then who was this Ger Amaleki who Shaul was killed? Maybe not. Maybe it's not proof. Maybe this one was Megayer before Shaul killed out all these Amalekites. Maybe it was Megayer earlier. Alright, so, but we're wondering about that, whether in fact this is indeed the only Amalekite encampment in the entire world at the time with the other Amalekites in other places. Alright, so there's no proof for that. But anyway, remembered completely the Be'emes ain't Dover Toba Amalek. There is no good trait in Amalek Lakoto Midas Yisrael that Jews should knowledgeably try to absorb. Daish Kablu, that we should accept them as Gerim. Kivade Aksubish Omram Meitav Gomer. Although the Psukim say that Shaul saw some good in Amalek, well, they were Sheker, they weren't lying. Not like the Mavi. The Mavi learns when it says, Vayachmol Shaul Alaam. The Malim says he was baloney. There was no Meitav. But Shaul was committing an Avera in perceiving this. He was following his improper understanding of the situation. The Malim says, the Reb Tzadok says, Itaka was good in Amalek. They do serve a purpose. The alarm clock for Klal Yisrael to know that they're sliding off the scale. Like Yaakov said, like Yitzchak said to Esav, "Vayosh kasher tori to farak the ulam yaltsav arecha." When Yaakov slides, and you Esav will come and wake them up. You know, show them that they're doing the wrong thing. So Shaul saw that, and perceived there must be some good in Amalek, and we should leave them around. And it wasn't that he was wrong in that perception. The perception itself was not Tavera. What was wrong was following that perception. Should have realized, nonetheless, even though I perceive it and it's true, it's not my business. Hashem told me not to make that cheshbon. I shouldn't make that cheshbon. And that's what he says. Truth is, there was good in Amalek. The grandchildren of Haman learned Terem Nebrak. So Reb Tzadok says a very interesting thing. He says in several places, he says, Avadi can't be Mekabel Lemeskirim. It must be, he says it must be that an Amaleki once raped a Jewish woman, one of the children of Haman, or grandchildren of Haman, raped a Jewish woman. She became pregnant, and then there were kids who were of Jews. So they weren't Mekabel Lemeskirim because there's taken no front door for Amalekite. They're completely evil. There's only a back door. It was the back door that through rape, so that way there was no choice. You don't abort the fetus once it's a Jew, right? It's a Goya Bar Bat Yisrael, the Vlad's Jewish. So that's how he learned it. Vemi Zer Agog, they were from the kids of Agog. Zer Gishon, Shaul perceived there was some good. That's why later in Novi's going to tell us, better to listen than to make good karbanos. Hakavanah means Agamdol Fida Shaul Zer Mitzvah. Even though according to Shaul's opinion it was a mitzvah, Al Zeh Ne'emar, it says, V'ahavta v'goyimber b'chol nafshecha. It says to love God, even b'chol nafshecha, perush, lo beguf levad, not just with your body, rakam nefesh, also with your nefesh. She askim, says Reb Tzadok, Lushanis, she askim gam l'abed nefesh. You should also be willing to kill when necessary, b'shur ratzah shezvah, for the will of God. Ano davshe magish is a mitzvah v'dover gadol l'kaimo l'zed nafik minay. Boso Lila, even though he felt, he sensed there would not be a mitzvah to keep Agav alive for his B'nai Bonav, for his grandchildren. And Pitaka conceived that night, as we know, Shalzelm Rubi Megillah, Mashilim Li Vechule. Become a common Lashmo, it's better to listen to Akash Baruch Hu. Tieshli Shmoa, L'Ratzon Hashem Yisbarach, Afal Pishai Deze Mevatel Mitzvah, Vavoda V'tikun L'Nefesh. Even though it's a listen to God, you was going against what you perceive to be a good thing, to use Amalek for the proper purpose, nonetheless, listen to Hashem, don't make your own cheshbonos. Absar goes and goes on to propose that Shaul's problem here was a problem also that he wanted to sin and then do tshuva. Seems to be a little bit a little bit radical to me, you know. Rav Tzadik approaches this whole issue with Shaul in two ways. One is to say that Shaul made a mistake. He followed his perception when he shouldn't have, which is, he uses the pasuk calls that, Alti Tzadik Harbe, right? Don't be such a big Tzadik, and Shaul made this wrong cheshbon. Another approach that Rav Tzadik has, which in my mind is less tenable, is that Shaul knew he was sinning. He knew he shouldn't keep him alive. But he felt, you know what, I'll do the sin, but then I'll do tshuva afterwards. And that, we know, somebody says, I'll sin and then I'll do tshuva, then Hashem doesn't allow him to do tshuva. So that's his other interpretation here. I think it's a little bit strained. Anyway, let's go out to Pasuk Yud. Vayidvar Hashem El Shmuel Lemor. It's on the back of the first page of the handout. Vayidvar Hashem El Shmuel Lemor, the word of God came to Shmuel saying, Nichamti, Paskirav, I regret Kimlachti Yashol Lemelch that I made Shol a king. Kishav me acharai. He went away from, turned from away from me. Vesraelikim did not fulfill my words. Vayichal Shmuel, Shmuel was angry. Vayizak El Hashem Kol Laila, and he prayed to Hashem the entire night. That was a very interesting pasuk. First of all, what does it mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Menachem? We have this several times in pasuk. In Parshas Noah, beginning and end of Parshas Bereishis, Hashem says, "Nichamti Kisisi to Adam." I regret that I made man. In Parshas Kisisa, says, "Vayinochem Hashem al Horah Asher Diber La'asos Lamo." What does Nechama mean here? So the Ma'amim has a fascinating interpretation, as usual. The Ma'amim says, Nechama is when God completely changes his mind. It's not just a change of course, but an utter and complete reversal. That's called Nechama. So in other words, when Shaul was made king, there was taka a thought to make him king forever. Now is a complete reversal of that. Let's see it inside. Flip back a page. Because the mom, for some reason, on the page before. He says, Nicham te'in hiralef, Dvar Shmuel, Kol mokum shebo yisnachmul, say to Hashem, eight time it says yisnachmul, by God, Shem yisnachim apula shosah. That he regrets something which he did. Ubitul apula gamri means that the entire thing is completely nullified. Because everything is sustained because of God's will and desire. When Hashem changes his mind, it's as if the thing didn't exist. He says, God regretted he made humankind. The Zeyavob Gzardin and Nechamti is always comes with a decree, where there is no longer any hope of tshuva. So Nechamti means Hashem completely regrets. He completely changes his mind. He reverses courses and as if the thing itself didn't exist. That's what Nechamti means. By the way, I'm completely off on a tangent. This is something which I just saw recently in Tzitz Eliezer in the Birnbaum Sitter. What does it mean in... It's really off on a tangent. What does it mean when we say in Kaddish? Le'ela min kol birchasa v'shirasa tushbuchasa v'nechamasa. This is an department of things which we say many times and never think of. What does that mean? What?
Words aren't adequate.
Layla, above, right? Words are inadequate, right? But a little translation. Layla, Hashem is above. Min kol birchasa. All, what are birchasa? Blessings, brachos. Shirasa, what is shirasa?
Songs.
Songs, right? Tush Bechasa, what are Shvachim praises? The Nechemosa, what are Nechemosa?
He made the Chama. He created the Chama?
And consolations, right? What's the Pashup? There's no Pashup Shad in that. What does it mean? God is above and beyond all songs, all praises, all blessings, all songs, all praises, and all consolations. Consolations completely out of, do you see that? Consolations completely out of place in that line, right? Consolations, that what we're saying is God is above and beyond any type of description, any type of praise which human beings can give. So how does that fit into the word? How does the word Nechemosa fit in there? The Ravon says they needed four words of praise because it could make a Yurke Vavke. Each one corresponds to part of Yurke Vavke. And I saw the Tzitzel. I'm not quoting that because I understand it. I just saw that. So Tzitzel Eliezer brings down from some rabbi in Liverpool, no longer alive, I forget his name, that the rabbi in Liverpool wrote, nice pshat, says, Birchasa refers to Birchasa Shachar. Shirasa refers to Sukkah de Zimra. Shira, right? Song. Tush Bechasa refers to what comes after Pesukim de Zimra. Yishtabach, right. And Echamosa refers to Ashrei Nevolatzion. Because Nevolatzion Goel is the ultimate redemption. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above all the praises we offer in all the sections of the tefillah. Which isn't a nice trap, but still doesn't have oomph. So the two main pshatim I saw in the tour, one is the Avudram and the other is Shiboli Alekin. The Avudram says that God is sitting in anguish over the Churban. So therefore God needs to be consoled as well. But he's above and beyond any human consolation we can offer. Only Hashem can provide his consolation by bringing about the Gula. He's in anguish too, but he's above and beyond any Nechama we can offer him. That's one pshat. The other pshat, the Shiboli Aleket says, Leila Mikol Nechamosa means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above and beyond all the praises offered by the Nevi'im. What does Nechamosa have to do with Nevi'im? Because the Nevi'im were the ones who offered us all the Nevuos of Nechama, right? Like the Shiva de Nechemta. So the Nevuos of Nechama the Nevi'im are called Menachemim because they were they offered Nechama, and it means Le'elam Yikol Nechamasa, he's above and beyond all the praises which all the Nevi'im uttered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I thought of all this in connection with the word Nichanti because I tried to connect it, but it's not connected. I couldn't come up with any connection. But nonetheless, despite that I couldn't come up with any connection, I figured it's an important thing to point out, because you know we've all said as Shluchei Tzibor and some other capacity, Rachman Litzlan, we've all said Kaddish, right? But who knows? Whoever paid attention to the word Nechemosa, it really doesn't fit into the context of Kaddish. All right, if anybody comes up with a better shot, then I'd appreciate it, because I'm still not satisfied. But that's all I could find. Now, getting back to the pasuk itself, the phrases here are interesting to use in the pasuk. I think it's a little bit of an allegory here. If you take a look, Hashem is using the word nechama in a negative sense, right? Nichamti, I'm upset that I regret they made Shlomo king. He's also using the phrase shav in a negative sense. Shol was shav mi'acharai. He returned from away from behind me. Normally, the word nechama is a positive word. It means consolation. Normally, shav is also a positive word. It means tshuva. And here, the words are being used in a negative connotation. So I just, it's a little shettle. I don't know if it's true at all, but probably isn't, but nonetheless I'm proposing it. The Chazal says, the quote before, Kol Nasa Rachman al Achzorim, Basof Nasa Achzor al Rachmanim. Anybody who's kind to cruel people eventually be cruel to cruel kind people. So I gotta give a little bit of a different spin. It means if you are kind to cruel people, Hashem will be cruel to you, even though you're a kind person. By that I mean, Hashem will use things which are normally midos of kindness, and overturn them and use them for cruelty to you. Normally, nechama is an attribute of kindness. Shem consoles. Here, where Shaul overturned everything by being nice to bad people, Hashem says, oh, you are Rahman al Achzorim. We're going to have to be Achzor. We're going to have to use words which are usually words of Rachamim on you in a cruel way. It's kind of a Midah connected Midah. You've changed the Midos. You were kind where you should have been cruel. We're going to change the Midos too. Words which normally serve for kindness, for you are going to serve for cruelty. And that's why Hashem said, use the Lashon Rav, Nichavti. Nechama, in a negative sense. Shav, tshuva, in the negative sense. Show you the tshuva, but he was shav away from God, not shav towards God. So that's why the pasuk is contrasting that. I think, right? It's good shot? Okay. Thank you.
The chuma has also two short meanings. The chuma can also be consolation.
Yeah, but in here can't mean consolation.
No, here it cannot be consolation, but we use the same words also for consolation.
That's true. So it depends who we're using it against. Also by the Dora Mabel. Right, by the Dora Mabel, when it says, Nichamti ki asisim, so also there,
right.
since they were...
No, that means I regret.
Right. So the same word which means consolation, when she was against Rishoyim, it means regret. Because Rishoyim, the Chazal says, are mahapich kisei din l'kisei rachamim. The kisei rachamim, kisei din, they're hofech Hashem's midah rachamim to the midah of din. And I think that that's what Shaul is, what the pasuk is emphasizing here as well. Now one thing I don't have an answer to, which is very important in this pasuk, but again I don't know how to explain it, is how could Shmuel and have davened and not been answered?
Yeah.
But Shmuel and davened and not been answered. You know, my kids today, I was listening from the carpool to school today, driving my kids to school. So they're talking, the other kids who are driving the carpool were saying to my kids that their brother or cousin, Nechves, just came back from Eretz Yisrael and he got a bracha from Rav Shach. And one of the kids, kindergarten kid, was saying to my son in kindergarten, in first grade, then the son in first grade said, Rav Shach gives brachas and they really come true. So if Rav Shach can give brachas and they really come true, so Kal v'chomer, if Shmuel davens to Hashem, how could it not come true? I'm bothered by this. I don't have an answer for it. There must be someone. Reb Tzadok says, if any tefillah of any Jew is mekuyim to a certain extent. It might not be mekuyim to the extent that you want it to be mekuyim, but it's mekuyim in some way, shape, or form. If you daven for Chol A to get better, maybe it won't get better, but maybe you'll be somewhat suffer somewhat less. Maybe Chol B will get better. I don't have an answer for this, but if Shmuel davened all night to Hashem, if he got upset and he davened all night to Hashem, there must have been some sort of effect which that tefillah had. Maybe we'll find in the course of our discussions, but right now I don't see, I'm not sure what how Shmuel was answered. Okay? So he was davening that Shmuel shouldn't be deposed. I think somebody said it explicitly. I think. Well, the pasuk is ambiguous. The Marie Cross says that he davened for Shaul. That's true, but you know, yeah, things are relative. I assume he didn't want it to be totally, deposed. So, I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe you could make the case he's dying for something else. You have a better shot? What does he say? Does he bring down anything? Who Shmuel was dominating for?
He was just upset at the general situation that God was
doing. Notice he was complaining. Maybe. Needs more proof. In any event, but certainly, it certainly is difficult. Okay, let's see Pasuk Yud Beis.
God was angry at him, and he tried to overturn that anger.
God was angry at whom?
At Shmuel.
At Shmuel? No. No, Shmuel was angry. Yichal Shmuel means it was upsetting for Shmuel. Not for Yichal al Shmuel. Yes, it was upsetting to Shmuel.
Yichal al Shmuel, and Shmuel was angry.
No. Yeah, Shmuel was angry, right. Shmuel was angry, yes. Right. Vayizak Mordechai Zohar, that's interesting, yeah, because it's that's kind of square. We'll have to see if there's some connection. It's interesting parallel. Okay, Pasuk Beis by Ashkim Shmuel Yikra Shol. They're all connected. It's all kosher. By Ashkim Shmuel Yikra Shol Baboker. Shmuel got up and went to our shul in the morning. By Gadol Shmuel Emor, and it was Shmuel was told. Bashul at Carmel is a difficult geographical pasuk here. It seems first Shol went to Har Carmel. To bear in mind what a trek that was. Went from Amalek in the south to the Carmel in the north. It was a long trip. I don't know why he went that far. Always going to be made, even they made to blow Yad to make for himself a certain three pshatim, what Yad is. The Rashi brings down two pshatim, which are that it was a mizbeach, or a corral to hold all his loot. The Malvin brings down, or a monument, I should say, to his victory. And the Malvin says a third shot, rather, a monument to his victory in the shape of a hand. I think I told you once, you know, that if you go down to downtown Detroit, so, you know, downtown Detroit, they have a statue of Joe Louis's fist. That's a symbol of Detroit, you know, so that's a yad, according to the Malvin, that's the shot. By it's a little yad means he made himself a figure of a hand to commemorate his mighty victory. But in any event, whatever he did, whether it was the altar, the corral for the loot, or the Joe Louis statue, he went all the way up to the Carmel to do it. It's very, very far. I don't know why. I have no idea. The only interpretation I can have is that I have two interpretations. One is that it was kind of like a publicity thing. In other words, when you win a war, you go throughout the land in order to display the great victory which you achieved. So you took his trail of prisoners and loot all the way up from him, from the south to the very north. The other interpretation I have is a bit more esoteric, which is that Shol sensed a reason why he was drawn to the Carmel. And that reason will come to in a couple of minutes. In the meantime, after he left the Carmel, Vayisov, he turned, Vayavor, and he went down. He went down to the Gilgal. That was the next place where he went. And the Rabbah said he went to Gilgal because Gilgal was always where very important episodes happened in Klal Yisrael. From the time of Yoshua, when they were all gemalt, when all of Klal Yisrael were mild at the time that they entered Eretz Yisrael. Now, again, getting back to the issue of the Carmel. Chazal say, you know, Elio, where did he build his Mizbeach? Elio, what? Carmel. And it says he built it from Mizbeach Hashem Aharus, from the altar of God which had been there and had been destroyed. Chazal say that's the altar of Shol. Shol built an altar, was destroyed over time. Elio came and built the altar afterwards. There's a connection between Shol and Elio, obviously. In fact, if you turn back to my notes, on the other side of the page you're on before, bring down the Ripa Mizbach Hashem Aharus. It says Elio fixed the Mizbach of God which was destroyed. Ram Ruzal Shem Mizbach B'Shol and Chazal said was Mizbach of Shol. Ki B'leid As Bin Yomin In the puzzle it says, a nation and a congregation of nations, and kings will come out of your loins, which is referring to the Sheva bin Yomin, Ephraim and Manasseh. Your mezes, and this is alluded, Malchus Shol, because Shol came from bin Yomin. V'gam akrovas Elio. And Elio was like a goy when he sacrificed on Har Carmel outside the Beis HaMikdash when bumos, when private altars were permitted. He's also with this pasuk. She agam came mishivto, according to one matter, she was also from Sheva bin Yomin. Koshan was our pasuk vayirashio. I'm not sure, it must be a typo there. That pasuk is like Chazal say that Elio was from Sheva bin Yomin. What did he do there? Shkutei chutz. He sacrificed out to the Beis HaMikdash. Shram Ruzal. Like Chazal say. Vainu. What's the connection? Ki melucha shol livnei David. The kingship of Shol before the kingship of David is dugmas bias Eliyahu. is corresponds to the Kohen Elio. Or Moshiach ben Yosef. Moshiach ben Yosef is the same character. Lifnei Moshiach, before Moshiach comes. Ki Shol Omuzak ben Shoran is a comparison. Shol Chazal say was like a year old. Shalot Tan Tam Chet, and he never sinned. Vaynuk ben Shonavatolodah, just like a 1 year old, naturally. B'terem Yasi Shtavos, before he makes a conscious effort to refrain from sinning, is automatically pure. As a conscious distinction to that, with the Melchal of Hashem, David is Nikra Shekim Olos Shel Tshuva. Everybody knows he sinned. He had Tshuva afterwards. But Elio was not like that, and neither was Binyamin. Rather, Me'om Lo Yadim Shel Chata Kmo Elio. Elio never sins. Koshom Ruzal, Chazal saying, Me'om Lo Yadim V'chulei. If you ask if there's anybody who never died, Ari Elio Shel Chata V'lameis. Elio never sinned and never died. So Binyamin and Elio both are connected. Binyamin via Shol is connected to Elio, and they're both Moshe Binyamin. Now what do they represent? It's a connection here. So Reb Tzadok has his interpretation. I have a slightly different interpretation based on other Reb Tzadoks. Reb Tzadok says that that the connection is that they both did Averus Lishma. I have to be that one of them was wrong. Eliyahu's Aver Lishmo was to be Makrib Bishas Yisur Bamos. The sacrifice of private altar at the house they made some English when that was technically forbidden. And Shol's Aver Lishmo was to keep Agog and the sheep alive. So one of them was right, one of them was wrong. So Eliyahu had to come to rectify the same Aver created by Shol many years earlier. That's one shot. That's Reb Tzadok's shot. My shot, I think, is a slightly variation of that, based on another Reb Tzadok, which is that what Shol failed to do is impose Yirat Shamayim. He didn't have the capacity to impose Yirat Shamayim. He was supposed to. He was told, this is an episode where you go to fight Amalek, no mercy. Complete din. Halacha, courage, fortitude, strength, Yirat Hashem. That was the fight against Amalek. Shol, the big tzaddik, said, no, I want to be merciful, just, kind, etc., etc. The wrong midos. Elio represents Yira, fear, awe, trepidation, power, violence, Hashem Shemayim. What's Elio the Malach of, so to speak? Elio comes to all the time. Busy every day. Prismila, right? Mitzvah, which is the ultimate expression of courage, of strength, Shem Shemaim. The only mitzvah to wound yourself or another person. So Elio demonstrated, and Elio at Har Carmel, who boy did he have to be courageous to stand against all those Nevi'ei Baal and Izebel, you know, and Achab to boot. Elio rectified the Avera of Shol. The tribe of Binyamin and the tribe of Yosef, the children of Rachel, seen many times, are particularly into Yira, into awe, into fear, into courage. Fear not of the enemy, fear of God, which lends courage in fighting the enemy and fighting the Yetzirah. Shol Mofta. Elio rectified it. So, and that's the ruined Mizbeach. Shol's Mizbeach was ruined because it was a failure. Elio came and he fixed that. Came and he fixed that Mizbeach. No. Shol perhaps felt compelled. He felt pulled to Har Carmel. Because otherwise, like I said before, it's amazing. How in the world did he end up in Har Carmel, all the way from the south? So I'm proposing to you in a mystical way, he was drawn there. He was brought there because eventually the rectification, the overcoming of his shortfall, would be done in that self-same spot many years later by Elio HaNavi. And that's how he ended up at the Carmel. Okay? So in any event, after the Carmel, he ended up back in Gilgal. It's one of our old haunts. Bermah is a major, major trek. Went all the way from the south. He ended up by Mitzrayim, because Amalek lived right next to Egypt. Went all the way to the north, and then came halfway down again, because Gilgal is today in, you know, in Yeshan, Yehuda v'Shomron. So he came back down again halfway. It's a big, big trip. Okay? Yud Kimmel. Vayavo Shmuel Shol. Shmuel came to Shol. Vayomer lo Shol. And Shol said to him, they met in Gilgal. So Shol says to him, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Atar Hashem, blessed are you to God. Hakimosi, I fulfilled Ezvar Hashem, the word of God. Vayomer Shmuel, Shmuel said Hagwash. Doesn't exactly say that here, but basically. Umeko Atzon Hazeh Beoznai. What is the sound of the sheep in my ears? The Kola Bakar and the sound of the cattle, Asher Anochi Shomea, which I am hearing as well. Vayomer Shol, and Shol said, Me'amalekim Hu, I brought them from Amalek. Asher Chamal Ha'am, the nation, had mercy. This is a kind of a lack of leadership here. He could have taken, should have taken the blame himself. He didn't. He's a good politician. Tried to shunt the blame onto somebody else. Says the Am was Chomel al Meitav Atzon and the Beshib, Barbakar and the cattle. The man's Baruch Hashem Lokecha to bring his korbanos to Hashem. They say Yosef Achran with the rest we eradicated. Yes. I'll get to that in a second. So in any event, the Radak and Rabag have a little bit of a difference of opinion here. The Radak says Yitak intended to sacrifice all the animals as korbanos. Rabag says they intend only to sacrifice some. Right? And Shol made believe as if he intended to sacrifice all of them. And that's why since Shol was embarrassed as their true intent, he came up with this paper, papered it over with this claim, this weak claim that the nation was the one who actually decided how much to sacrifice as korbanos. Be that as it may, failure to recognize his sin, even after Shmuel starts pointing out to him as part of the aggravated nature of his Aveira. The Radak comments on the use of the term Elokecha. Very interesting Radak. Radak says, the second to last line of the first column of the Radak, V'amar, it says, V'amar Elio, he said, Elokecha, in honor of Shmuel, to give Shmuel greater covered. The greater a person is in spiritual stature, it's more suitable to say about him, you are God. And the Vim, I guess, in order to recognize their own high spiritual station, would say, God, my Lord, in the possessive. V'chein Omar B'cheta Nasi says when a Nasi sins, it says V'asa mikomitzos Hashem Elokav. They did a sin in one of the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his king, his God. So we see that whenever there's a closer relationship between God and a human being, so the pasuk as an honorific, that human being calls him his God, calls the Kodesh Baruch Hu the God of that human being. Okay, pasuk Tetzayin, fascinating pasuk. Actually, Zayin, I mean, not the Tetzayin, but you Zayin is a fascinating one. By Yom Shmuel Shol, Shmuel says to Shol, Heref. Wait a minute. Vagida Lecha, and I will tell you. Es Asher Diber Hashem Elai Aloy, that which God spoke to me this evening. Vayom Elo, and Shmuel said to Shol, said to Shmuel, Daber, speak. Vayom Shmuel, Shmuel started rebuking him. Shmuel said, Aloy, Katan Atabe Necha, even if you are small in your own eyes, Rosh Shivte Yisrael Ato, you are the head of the tribes of Israel. Not only are you the head of the tribes of Israel, which would be a position which make you contingent on the nation, and perhaps give you the justification to say it was the nation's fault. But you're higher than that. Vayim Shachecha Hashem LeMelech HaYisrael. God made you the king over Israel. What business do you have in listening to the nation? You shouldn't have listened to that. If you take a look here in the Radak brings down the Targum, and the page you just turned to, says, in the sixth line down in the Radak, the Yonas on Tirgay my Pasuk K. This is how Yonas on Transit Pasuk, fascinating Pasuk. Hello, Shmuel says to Shol, Hello means Shav Yushar Yusach, From the time you were born, Avitzo Shayit, you were, Shayit means, something which is not firm. Shayit is something which is not firm. Lashut means to row. So, you know, a rower moves from place to place. Somebody rows a boat. So Shayit means you were flexible, you were able to be moved from place to place. And where's the... I'm going back to Tarek because the Radak leaves out a few words. V'chalosh be'enei nafshoch, and you were weak in your own eyes. Baram, however, going back to the Radak now, z'chushiv toch, the merit of your... Oh, no, it doesn't finish. Back to the Targum. Sorry about that. Z'chushiv toch, the merit of Shita bin Yamin Abuch, the merit of the Shem bin Yamin, your forefather, Garmalach, cause you, the bow lemebad b'yama, cause you be king, the bow lemebad b'yama, kodem b'nei Yisrael, because they want to pass over the Red Sea before the rest of the Jews. B'dil alfin abdil... Because that Rav Yoch Hashem Lemeve Malch Yisrael, God caused you to be the king over Am Yisrael. So, kids, I won't tell to you. I'll just tell to you outside without seeing the Radak again. It says that when Bnei Yisrael standing by the, it's a fascinating story. I never heard this before. Bnei Yisrael standing by the Yamsuf, so they're afraid to go in. So Binyaminite said, "We'll go first." Who did you think went first? Nachshon, right? So he says, "No." It says the Binyaminites wanted to go first. So the people in Shevet Yehuda saw them. The Binyaminites said, "Hey, we want to go first." So they started stoning the people from Binyamin. And they went first. That's when Nachshon jumped in first. But the Binyaminites are the ones who were prepared to go first. It's just they were stopped by Shevet Yehuda. It means that Pasuk in Tehillim, which perhaps proves this. But in any event, so the Malvim is saying, the Targum is saying, a very, very negative view of Shaul. Yourself, Shaul, you're nothing. I knew right from day one that you were a wishy-washy guy. But Binyamin deserved this covet, that the first king could come from Binyamin. And therefore, I appointed you. But now, enough is enough. Binyamin's chus is over, they got the first king, and since they wanted to go first by Kriyas Yamsuf. What?
And you said this.
Yes. And this new thing is starting, right. So that's it. Until now it was you, because that's chus, forget it. Now that chus is over, you're on your way out. Okay?
One more pasuk. It's late.
May I just do pasuk yilches? Vayishlach Hashem baderech. Hashem sent you on the way. Hashem sent you on the way. Who are we supposed to listen to? Whose derech was it? The nations? Hashem. Hashem said to you, "Lech go v'racharamto es achatoyim es amolik." Go eradicate the sinners, Amalek. Which you didn't do. The chamto boy is supposed to fight the war at kalosim until you completely destroy them. It's interesting. Why is Amalek have to be called chatoyim? They point out that Amalek are evildoers. It's totally superfluous, right? To a gratuitous wipe at Amalek. So I think it sustains the Rambam. It's a fascinating Rambam. Perakei Vilchus Malachim. Not too many people know this Rambam. The Rambam says that even by a Molech, before you wage war with them, you call peace out to them. You ask them if they want to accept Shem Mitzvah B'nai Noach. Even a Molech, you give them that option. It's just that if they refuse it, any other nation which you refuse that option when you want to make peace with them, you just kill the men, not the women and children. Amalek, if they refuse the option, you kill men, women, and children. That's the difference between Amalek and everybody else. But the pshat is, Amalek here would not have been destroyed were they not also chatoim. We're Amalek, and this is important because if they ever ask you whether Jews believe in genocide, we don't. It's only if they refuse to keep Shem Mitzvah B'nai Noach. So Amalek is, Shem emphasizes to Shaul, you want to keep them alive? It's true that sometimes you can do that even with Amalek. But these guys, these were chatoim. No matter what you might think, other times of Amalek, at this point, even though Laloch is, normally you're allowed to give them a chance, these guys are such chatoim, how could you possibly have kept them alive? That's the Tain against Shaul. All right, we didn't get to as far as I wanted to tonight, but we have a new thing. We're going to stop at 10 o'clock, and rules are rules, and we have a little bit of a parsha board, and inside one of the Kolo guys gives it. So we'll stop here.